I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me again to the New Testament book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. And our study today will begin in verse 15. I'm going to ask that you keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as my sermon points will be coming from these few verses, and you're going to get 40, 50, 60% more out of the message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from God's holy inspired word. And you've noticed the title of the message, Harmony. We've heard beautiful harmony today in this music, but harmony extends beyond music. It extends to our personal lives and our relationships with each other. And that's what this passage of scripture is talking about. But I think we'll have to be honest at the outset and say that there is much discord in our world today. And Christians are not exempt from a lack of harmony in their own personal lives and in their relationships. That's why today we will see how we can have inner peace that spills over into our daily associations, beginning with our own families. And we're going to also notice that God has a plan for us to use the harmony, the peace, the one accord that He has given to us to bring honor and glory to His matchless name. It all starts deep down inside your own personal life. So let's do a little personal inventory right here at the outset, and we'll just broaden it out as we go deeper into the scripture. And we'll begin our discussion today with harmony, number one, in the heart. It's no accident that that word heart is used twice in the space of two verses, verses 15 through 16. I'll point them out to you as we come to them. It says there in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let's just stop right there. That word rule is an interesting word in the original language of the Bible. It's closely akin to a ruling that an umpire would make in the field of play in baseball. Of course, they didn't have baseball in Bible days. That's a fairly recent sport in the mid-1800s here in the United States, but it's the same idea. Whenever it comes to the decisions that need to be made in your own life, and we're daily faced with decisions, y'all thank God every day that He has given you and created you with the dignity of decision making, just like an umpire has when there's a call at the plate. And sometimes you've got to make a call at the plate in that instant, in that moment. And if the peace of God is ruling in your heart, if it is keeping your heart and mind in Christ Jesus your Lord, you'll be ready. You'll be ready in that instant, in that moment, to say this is right or this is wrong. Do you have that kind of inner peace ruling in your heart right now? If you do, it will extend to other people, because keep on unpacking this 15th verse as we go in it phrase by phrase. It says, starting at the first again, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. Now, what is that one body? It's us. It's the church of the living God. We are the body of Christ. And it's real simple, folks. If your vertical relationship is right with God, if Jesus is living and reigning and ruling in your heart, there's no hindrances between you and your Creator God, no hindrances between you and your Lord and Savior. If your vertical relationship is right with God, then watch this. Your horizontal relationships will be right with each other. I said we're going to do a little personal inventory. Is it right between you and God today? Or is there some discord, some area of lack of peace and harmony between your heart and God? You can deal with that right now. And I'll guarantee you, if you're having problems in your relationships, beginning at home? It's probably a direct result of the fact that things aren't right between you and God. If you're having a problem with people at work, at school, wherever you find yourself, you need to check out, first of all, your relationship to God, your fellowship with Him, because that has dramatic effect on your fellowship with your fellow believers and extended beyond that to all your human relationships. Then go on into verse 16, and you'll see why I've used the word harmony. I've not just pulled it out of the air, because what we see here in verse 16 is a lot of musical terminology, okay? So beginning in verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in," here come the musical terms, bang, 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 "songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace," or the word might be thanks, "in your," here's that word again, "hearts." It's no accident I use that word heart already in the space of two verses. We've seen the word heart. And all this is supposed to be taking place in your hearts. We've sang with our voices today, but has that song and emanated from deep down inside of you? And will it continue to emanate from deep down inside of you when you walk out of this building? You don't need an orchestra. You don't need a guitar. You don't need a piano. You don't need an organ. You don't need a music director to have music just spilling out of your heart in your communication with one another. That's what this is talking about. When you talk to other people, it should be laced with the praise to Almighty God. Well, let's define these three musical terms here. First of all, it speaks of psalms. Now, what are psalms that they were talking about that were sung in Bible days? Well, these were songs that were taken from the Old Testament Psalter, or the Book of Psalms. They sang psalms put to music, and I absolutely love it when Christian musicians will take this book right here, the Bible, and they will set it to music. And you know, when that happens, it gets deep down inside of you. I loved what Andrea said at our Good News musical with our boys and girls last Sunday night about how she has met older teenagers and adults who remember the songs they learned as children and said, "You know, I was facing something the other day, and I didn't know how to handle it, and all of a sudden this song just bubbled up out of me, and it gave me peace." It was a song that was a scripture set to music. You don't realize how many songs you sing that are scripture set to music. And that's how the Word of God, as it says here in verse 16, can dwell in you richly. It can find a deep down residence in your hearts if you will let it become a big part of your life, and it will affect your relationship with other people. Well, there's another musical terminology here, and it is spiritual songs. All right, I understand. Psalms are scripture set to music. Hymns, I actually skipped hymns. Let's talk about hymns for a moment. Hymns are an expression of praise. Just praise songs. You know, I want to thank you for praying for your staff as we took our staff retreat last Monday and Tuesday up at the lovely home in the mountains nestled by the lake there in Hiawassee, Georgia, Tommy Sweet's home, Tommy and Kristen Sweet's. It was just a lovely setting. We left here early in the morning in the blue church van, and Eric was our driver. Eric did a fantastic job driving hundreds of miles as our driver. He's very skilled in many positions. And speaking of Eric, a big part of our retreat was to take the numbers that your Sunday school classes have made for our new Sunday school year so that we can get a big picture goal for our church. And I was so blessed to see all the classes that responded, all the way from children, all the way up to adults. And really, we only have 6 adult classes that have not had a chance to respond yet. Would you do that this week so we can complete our planning and have a big picture of where we're heading in the new church year? But we got ready to leave from the back of the church, and like I said, Eric was the driver, and Lee was the navigator. He was up there in the passenger seat, and I was in the bench seat right behind them watching everything that was going on. And I noticed that Lee spent most of his time turning around talking to me instead of watching the road and watching his cell phone. And at one point, I looked up, and I noticed we were in Tennessee. And I just asked the question, am I seeing signs for Chattanooga? And Lee said, yeah. He said, we missed our turn a while ago. And he said, that's okay. It's just going to be a 40-minute delay. And so, okay, that's fine. 40 minutes, we can live with that. Well, the next thing I know, after several more minutes, more than 40 minutes, we crossed the state line of North Carolina. And what was a supposed 40-minute delay actually ended up being quite a great delay. As a matter of fact, later that day, Trey Pate was sitting behind me, and he was speaking in hushed tones on his cell phone to Crystal. And he said, yeah, we've been through 3 states to get to Hiawassee, Georgia today. And so, of course, tomorrow we're returning to Noonan through Florida. Well, Lee, brother, I got to tell you, I am happy that we went all that way around because I saw some of the most beautiful scenery I have ever seen in my life. I'm not kidding you. Going alongside that Ocoee River, man, if you just can't be touched and moved by God's beautiful creation, and I worshiped inside my heart. I gave him praise as my creator. Man, when we got over there in North Carolina, those mountains, oh my goodness, the sky, it was incredible. And I don't know about the rest of the staff, but I was worshiping God. And so here we go. Psalms are scripture set to music. Hymns are praise songs about God, how wonderful he is, what he's done in our lives. And then spiritual songs are songs of testimony. We're sharing personally about what God has done in our lives. And, you know, I was just looking at the order of worship this morning, just a few minutes ago, as a matter of fact. We've had all 3 of these categories. Just looking at the order of worship, I will sing of my Redeemer. Man, that's a testimony. That's a spiritual song. Amy singing, It Is Well With My Soul. That's a testimony, too. Boy, I tell you, things can be falling apart around me, even in my own personal relationships, but oh, it's well with my soul because Jesus is in my heart. And then we sang Breathe, one of my favorite praise songs, and that's what it is. It's just a praise song, so it's a hymn. And then we sang We Believe. Oh, I love that song. That's a song of testimony. We're talking to each other about what we believe. We're encouraging each other that, hey, we have a common bond in the fact that we believe the fundamentals of the faith. And then we sang One True God. Boy, Jack did a great job with that. And that was just filled with scripture. That was just setting scripture to music. And so that according to this definition here, was a psalm. We have sung psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now watch this. Some of those songs are about God, and some of those songs are to God. Which one's right? The answer is yes. They're both right. Songs about God, songs to God. That's what we have here. And Paul's listing these musical terms. And they should all be a part of our personal, private, and corporate worship life. We're so grateful for how they're an encouragement to other people. Can you just imagine how your relationships would change if you spoke in tones of worship to your relationships? Boy, the music of marriage would change, wouldn't it? it would really change, because there's a lot of discord in marriages that I know today. But husbands, if you started talking to your wife in such a way that you just lifted her up as you lifted the Lord up, and ladies, if you'd do the same thing, children, if you'd do the same thing, moms and dads, boy, it'd make all the difference in the music of your home. There is a twin book to the book of Colossians, and so it's the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, it covers all the things that we are covering today, absolutely everything. But it'll give a little bit of a variation. And it mentions these psalms, it mentions these hymns and these spiritual songs, but then it adds something. We see here making giving thanks in your heart to God, but in Ephesians 5:19, it says making melody in your heart to God. In the original language of the Bible, that word, making melody in your heart, is a musical term. It's picturing your heart as a stringed instrument that is plucked. And some of our hearts are out of tune. We're out of tune with God. We're out of tune with each other. And so maybe we need some tuning up, and then we can make melody in our heart. Sometimes we're out of tune because of some hurtful experience in our life, or hurtful experience with someone else in our life. You know, there's a hymn in that red hymnal in front of you, in hymn number 148, that I believe with all my heart that Luther Bridges found the inspiration for in Ephesians 5:19. It says, "There's within my heart." You got it. You remember that song, don't you? "There's within my heart a melody. Just Jesus whispers sweet and low." And then it goes on to say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know." But I love that second verse because it speaks to where we live. "All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again." Are there some broken strings in your heart because you've been hurt? Are there some broken strings in your heart because you've been wounded? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something you're going through emotionally. I tell you what Jesus can do. He can take those broken strings and he can tune them up so that you once again are making melody in your heart. I love verse 17. It should be the rule of thumb for Christian living. It says, "And whatever you do, do it in word or deed. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." The word thanks, you ought to do a word study sometime about how many times the word thanks shows up in the book of Colossians. I think it's about 7 times. You know, we're so unthankful and ungrateful for even the simple blessings of life. And your life is going to be filled with misery if you don't learn how to say thank you. Thank you to God. And thank you to people that God uses to bless your life. We should have an attitude of gratitude when it comes to our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Then your heart is going to be so in tune with God, there's going to be so much peace there. And that will spill over into your daily relationships beginning at home. And so let's look at harmony in your home. Verse 18. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord." Now, dear ladies, I want you to understand that this is not a chauvinistic statement by any stretch of the imagination. Please remove that from your mind, because Christians are not to behave in such a way that they lord it over each other, but this is a voluntary act by the wife in the home. And it does not in any way say that the wife is inferior to the husband. As a matter of fact, women are superior to men in many ways. Ladies, you are superior at being a woman than a man is. And I look at my own wife. Boy, she is superior to me in every way. She is superior in her attractiveness. She is superior in her intelligence. Amy is 10 times smarter than me. She is superior to me in her spirituality, in her capacity for spiritual things. I just wish I could just be a tenth as spiritual as Amy is. She knows lots more of the Bible than I do. So does that relieve me of the responsibility of being the loving leader of the home? Absolutely not. That is God's plan, but many men have abdicated their responsibility of being the loving leader of the home just because their wife is superior to them in so many ways. This is God's plan. As a matter of fact, this whole conversation should be understood in light of the twin book of Colossians chapter 5 verse 21, where Paul gets into these same specific things, but he begins by saying we should submit to each other. We should be people who are humble and meek. And then we should also understand this. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, we see there that everyone submits to somebody. Man submits to Christ, and watch this, Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 11, 3, submits to God the Father. Even Christ, by an act of his own will, submits to his heavenly Father. Submission is not a bad word. Oh, this is not making women inferior in any stretch of the imagination. Some women don't like it when Peter calls them the weaker vessel. And that's not saying you're inferior. It's just like comparing denim to silk, which is the weaker of those two fabrics. Well, silk is the weaker of those two fabrics. Denim is something that just a hairy-legged guy will wear, and it doesn't care what happens to it. But silk, boy, it's costly. It feels wonderful, and it's so beautiful. And it is very, very expensive. Well, that's the wife. She is the beautiful, weaker vessel. And it doesn't mean that she's less valuable. As a matter of fact, she's more valuable than us hairy-legged guys that wear denim all the time. So, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And then verse 19, men, husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. You know, the book of Ephesians chapter 5 also speaks to this subject, and it tells us husbands how we ought to love our wives. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, how much did Christ love the church? He gave himself in totality for the church. He didn't give 50% to his wife. As a matter of fact, this notion that marriage is a 50-50 proposition is unbiblical. Marriage is a 100%, 100% proposition. And so that's what the husband does. He gives 100% of himself to his wife, and his wife in turn gives 100% of herself. Why? Because Jesus gave 100% of himself on the cross. He didn't give us 75% of himself on the cross. He didn't even give 99% of himself on the cross. When he suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, he gave all of himself for us. Husbands, that's the way you're supposed to love your wives, with no reservation whatsoever. If we had more men doing that, we'd have a lot happier homes. That's why I've always said, if there's a problem in the home, from my observation, 9 times out of 10, it's the husband's fault, because he's not loving his wife in the way that Jesus love the bride of Christ, the church. And then go on here, because there's a responsibility for the children also. In verse 20 and verse 21, read this with me. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You know, I just want to say this to children, whether you be a teenager. As a matter of fact, this all applies to you if you're still living under the roof of your parents, even if you're 22 without a clue, this still applies to you. You are to obey your parents. Now, and parents, you're to teach your children to obey you. We have some parents that aren't good at teaching their children to respect them and obey them. And I'm going to tell you a drastic consequence of a child that does not obey his or her parents. They become unemployable. Did you hear me? You ask any boss, he doesn't want a worker who disrespects authority, who disrespects supervision. And a boss many times can look at an employee who is disrespectful toward authority, and more than likely he can know that that child grew up in a home that did not respect parental authority. Parents, you're doing your child a disservice by not making them respect you and obey you. And young people, you're doing yourself a disservice by not respecting authority, beginning at home. Now, I want to say something to single adults. For those of you who are dating, looking for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right, before you ever pop the question, sir, or before you ever say yes, ma'am, you better do one thing, and that is you better observe firsthand how he or she treats their parents. Because the same way they treat their parents is the same way they'll treat you in marriage. I've seen this over and over again. And you know, I tell this to kids, I tell this to teenagers, young adults, and they say, wow, that's weird. I don't have any idea how my relationship to my parents, what that has to do with my relationship to my future spouse. You watch. You watch. If you disrespect your parents, you will disrespect your spouse. If you're unloving towards your parents, you'll be unloving towards your spouse. And there's another parent in this picture. There is God the Father. And when we read this command, it's for his children to also obey him. You know what? God the Father, by his Holy Spirit, is speaking to a lot of us in this building right now at this moment. People up there in the balcony, people down here in the main floor, people in the choir. God the Father expects you to obey him. And delayed obedience is disobedience. Putting it off is just outright disobedience. He's speaking to some here today about being saved. He's speaking to some here today about following the Lord in believer's baptism. He's speaking to some here today about joining the life of this church. He's speaking to some here today about being a better husband, about being a better wife, about being a better parent, about being a better child. My friend, my counsel to you is right out of the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Today, listen to this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You have no promise of tomorrow. You have no promise of next week. So today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Obey him as we bow together. Oh, dear Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that he is our example of a submissive son. And today, we want to follow that pattern. We want to be obedient to you in every regard, beginning with our own hearts. Father, some of us need inner peace so much, but because the cords have been broken in our heart. And we want you to stir those slumbering cords again so that we'll have that inner peace that spills over into our relationships beginning at home. Father, we just pray today for those that need to make a decision. We ask that you'd give them the grace and the strength to do it. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.